Blog Talk Radio.
I dream of a city called glory, so bright and so fair. When I entered the gate, I cried, "Holy."
Amen. I want to thank the Lord Jesus Christ for this opportunity to be on the air this evening. We want to thank God for the wonderful week that we had. I hope that you had a good week. I hope that the Lord's blessed you. I'm sure he has. And tonight's study is going to be the will of God. The will of God. We're going to continue our study from the basic discipleship course, which we began a series of studies a few weeks ago. We took a couple breaks in between. We had the ladies' Christian night. We had another speaker on, Joseph Gibson from North Carolina, and some people from Wisconsin and Connecticut that contacted us during that and around the country, and great response. I'm glad the listeners enjoyed that program. And so tonight our program is dealing with the will of God, the will of God. And this will be 8 lessons in our series of lessons on basic discipleship. The Lord Jesus Christ instructed us. The apostles have instructed us. And so we need to follow and continue in the footsteps of the apostles and not in the footsteps of the denomination. Amen. And so I'd like to kind of begin this series with a praise report. I have a praise report, and I don't usually do these things in the beginning, but it's an interesting thing. This week, my wife had surgery. Sister Marilyn had surgery on her left eye. And on the funny side is we went to the doctors this morning. She had surgery yesterday morning. And we went in, and most of the patients all had their left eyes bandaged. And I jokingly said to Marilyn, "You must have had a right-handed doctor. I don't know." But the doctor sat down. He took a good look at Marilyn's eye. And he was, you know, he took the patch off, and surgery had only been less than 24 hours ago. And he said, "You know, I can't really believe this." And I said, "Well, what do you mean?" And Marilyn said, "What's wrong?" And he said, "No, it's not wrong." He said, "I'm looking at your eye, and normally people who have had this surgery, and it was a surgery which involved the back of the eye, not the front of the eye. And he said, usually people's eyes are blood red and swollen and bruised around the outside." He says, "And I'm not seeing that in your eye. And when I test your vision has significantly improved in less than 24 hours. And that, I've never seen that before." And I just wanted to tell the listening audience that. I want to thank you for your prayers. I want to thank the church here in Imperial Beach, and Bible Believers Baptist Church, and those who have prayed, and Lighthouse Baptist Church, and all the other churches and people that have been praying, that truly God has done a wonderful work here. The doctor was miffed. And I said to the doctor, I said, "Well, that's the power of prayer." And he said, "Well, I guess whatever works." Well, amen, it does work. Hallelujah. You know? But praise the Lord. And I thank God for his mercy and his kindness and his love. And let us move on with our lesson. I'd kind of like to give you the end of the lesson before the beginning of the lesson, and then we'll have a prayer. I've never done that before, but I think there's a scripture here that we need to apply before we read, which really is the end of the lesson. But, you know, God wrote the Bible from the end, really, in the beginning. I mean, if you look at that whole thing, you get a new heaven and earth in the beginning. You get a new heaven and earth in Revelations. And so we serve a mighty God. In the third chapter of Genesis, 3:15, is the first prophecy of Jesus Christ. And so really, from the beginning, God has told the end. But if you read Revelations, you find the end, which is really found in the beginning. Isn't that interesting? If you join me tonight in Ecclesiastes, and you'd go to chapter 12, and you would look at verses 13 and 14. Primarily verse 13. I'll give you a moment to get there. Ecclesiastes 12:13 says, "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Amen? For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. But verse 13 is where I'd like you to primarily focus. Let us hear the conclusion of the matter. The whole matter, not just the matter, the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. And my brethren, when Solomon penned this, the Holy Spirit was not just talking to men. He was talking to women also, men and women, old and young, boy and girl, those in the faith, and those outside the faith should take heed. I want to thank you, and we're going to get into this lesson. Let's have a prayer. Holy Father, we just thank you for this opportunity to come before you tonight, to have this opportunity to teach sound doctrine, to teach Bible. For there's so many churches, Lord, that are teaching things that are not in the Bible. But God, we praise you for this opportunity. We ask you tonight, God, that you would meet with us, wherever we are around the world, and that you would touch us with your Spirit, that you would fill us, that you would give us an understanding. And God, that you would let nothing come from my flesh, but only what your Spirit, Lord, would have me to say. And I thank you, Father. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, amen. Amen. Whew, we serve a mighty God. So I guess the question is, in lesson number 8 in this series, this lesson is entitled The Will of God. And so one of the questions that most Christian men and women and boys and girls ask me is, Dr. Ventura, how do I find God's will for my life? How do I find God's will for my life? Well, you know, there was a famous preacher, and he once said that a successful man is a man who finds out what God wants him to accomplish with his life and then fulfills it. And that's a very profound statement. The true measure of a man's success is not in his social status or what's in your bank account or what your influence is in the world or fame. It's simply in the doing of what God would have you to do. Do you know what God wants you to do with your life? Do you know what the will of God is? Well, I hope by the time we finish this lesson that God will have impressed upon your heart his will, how to seek it out, where to find it. Now, I want you to know that the purpose of this lesson truly is to give you a clear understanding of what the will of God is, because there's some people that are teaching the will of God is one thing and the will of God is another thing. How many times have you heard God only helps those that help themselves? My brethren, that is not biblical. Jesus Christ said, without me, ye can do nothing. The Apostle Paul said, other foundation can no man build but upon Jesus Christ. If you haven't gone to the Lord in prayer, which we studied in our previous lesson, if you haven't started out with prayer, then you're probably already outside the will of God in whatever your endeavor is. Because without me, the Lord said, you can do nothing. If it's not succeeding, that's why. Or you're outside of the will of God. But the purpose of the lesson is to give you an understanding of what the will of God is, as it is revealed in the Bible. So you can begin to accomplish those things in your Christian walk that God would have you to accomplish. There are things that God wants you to accomplish as a child of God. The number one point that I'd like to start with here is what the will of God is not. Let's be clear about that. We should know what the will of God is not, according to the Bible. The will of God is, number one, it's not physical, but it is spiritual. It is never connected to a set of rules, a geographical location, or a specific ministry. And I'll clarify all that. You see, the will of God is not to be confused with the plan of God for your own life. God has a plan, a specific plan, for every individual. And only God can give you the details regarding that plan. Your pastor cannot give it to you. Your brother in Christ cannot give it to you. Your sister in Christ cannot give it to you. Only God can reveal to you what his specific plan is for your life. Now, there are two aspects to the will of God. And I've often heard this taught, and they've said this. There's only one will of God. Interesting. So let's study that and see what they're talking about. Because I find that statement's not exactly true. Amen. I mean, we know that everything that happens in a Christian's life, and even a non-Christian's life, is going to end up glorifying God. And you say, well, how does a non-Christian glorify God? Because when a non-Christian suffers a terrible fate, and the ultimate fate is hell, God is glorified because it proves that God is good and that evil does exist. And God does get his glory. Amen? Hallelujah. But there's two aspects now that I want you to focus on with me to this will of God. Number one, he has a permissive will. And number two, he has a perfect directive will. The permissive will of God, you must clearly understand that God allows things to happen. He does not approve in order to accomplish some larger purpose. And the examples are abundant throughout the scriptures, both in and out of scripture. But I want you to see this. Let's take Paul's trip to Jerusalem. God warned him three times. The Apostle Paul, one of the greatest Christians to ever live, God warned him three times, do not go. And you know what happened? God allowed him to go to teach him obedience and ultimately to get him to Rome. Now, I'm sure God had a plan to get him to Rome, but God has given you and I free will. And this is where my Calvinist friends are screwed up. And I use that word screwed up when I use that to mean twisted. They have twisted the scriptures. You see, God did not in eternity past already select who's going to hell and who is not. That is not the doctrine and the biblical doctrine of predestination, my brethren. God ordained Israel and the church to go to heaven. And when I receive Jesus Christ, I become part of that church. That's by free will. Jesus said, whosoever will, let him come to me. He didn't force anybody to come to him. Imagine forcing the person that you love to love you. Wouldn't that be a terrible thing if you had to come home every day to your wife or to your husband and make them love you? Or if they were automated like a robot? Well, God didn't create us that way. Adam and Eve had free will. They chose the wrong thing. And because of that, you and I are in the predicament we're in. Sin. Sin that dwelleth in our flesh. But Paul was warned, don't go to Jerusalem three times. And he went. And if you'll turn with me over to the book of Acts, chapter 21, verses 4 through 14, we'll read a little bit. And we'll see this is true. And you say, no. The apostle was disobedient? Yes. He got outside the will of God. Acts 21, verses 4 to 14, it's written, and finding disciples, we tarry there 7 days, who said to Paul through the Spirit that he should not go to Jerusalem. Well, the Spirit is capital S, and it was through the Holy Spirit, and the disciples told Paul, don't go to Jerusalem by the Holy Spirit, that he should not go up to Jerusalem. And when he had accomplished those days, we departed and went our way, and they all brought us on our way with wives and children till we were out of the city. And when we kneeled down on the shore and prayed, and when we had taken our leave of one another, we took ship, and they returned home again. And when we had finished our course from Tyre, we came to Telamis, and saluted the brethren, and abode with them one day. And the next day, we that were of Paul's company departed, and came on to Caesarea. And we entered into the house of Philip the evangelist, which was one of the seven, and abode with him. And the same man had four daughters, virgins, which did prophesy. And as we tarried there many days, there came down from Judea a certain prophet named Agabus. And when he was come unto us, he took Paul's girdle and bound his own hands and feet and said, Thus saith the Holy Ghost, So shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man that owneth this girdle and shall deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles. And when we heard these things, both we and they of that place besought Paul, not to go up to Jerusalem. Then Paul answered. Disciples told him, he was told through the Spirit, he was told through the prophet, three times, and Paul chose to disobey God. The man answered Paul, What mean ye to weep and to break mine heart? For I'm ready not to be bound only, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. And when he would not be persuaded, we ceased, saying, The will of the Lord be done. Amen? Now, you take Hitler. God did not approve of him murdering 6 million of his chosen people. But God allowed it as the beginning of the restoration of the Jews and to return them to their homeland. God allows suffering in the lives of his children to perfect them, although he would certainly and clearly, God would prefer that they not have to suffer. You know, sometimes if you're a parent, you have a child, and you tell them, do not touch the stove, it's hot. Do not touch the stove, it's hot. Do not put your fingers in the electrical sockets, you'll get shocked. Don't play and throw the ball in the house. And you know what happens? They do it anyway. And what happens? Well, they get a lesson. And I assure you, they don't put their hands on the stove anymore. They don't stick their fingers in the sockets anymore. And they don't throw the ball around the house because it breaks things. And God allows suffering into the lives of Christians. And there are too many pastors and preachers out there teaching and selling the gospel of Jesus Christ, telling people that all you have to do is receive Jesus Christ and everything's going to be fine in your life. You're never going to have another problem. All your financial problems will be answered. All your physical health problems will be answered. And you know what? That is not Bible. Your problems just began. Hey, listen, you're going to suffer anyway in life. You're going to suffer under the oppression of the devil. You're going to suffer because of your own fleshly ways, or you're going to suffer because you get outside the will of God, or God is training you up. Recently, I spoke with a young lady who said, I'm doing everything that God wanted me to do. I'm miserable. I'm not in the place that I want to be anymore. I'm just, things aren't working out for me. And I said, sister, whoa. She says, well, I've repented of everything I could think of. I said, sister, maybe you did nothing wrong. Maybe you did nothing wrong. The disciples were told by Jesus to get into the boat and row across the Sea of Galilee. And while they were in the middle, they were obeying the Lord. They got in the boat, but while they got in the middle, a storm came upon that sea, which tossed and turned them. But Jesus rescued them in it. Amen? What was Jesus teaching them? Have faith in me. I will save you. I will rescue you. I will be there. I will stretch out my hand. Not your boss, not the laborer, not the governor, not the president. Jesus Christ will stretch out his hand. I will be there. People go through things for a reason. 1 Peter 3, 15:18 says, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear, having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as of evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ." That's not only talking of words. The biblical definition of conversation is life, your daily doing. "For it is better, if the will of God be so, that ye suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing. For Christ also has once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit." Amen. The Apostle Peter told you that. You're going to suffer for well-doing. Man has free will. God will not force anybody to do anything. God offers salvation and the principles for a godly life. But if a man exercises the free will God has given him and rejects them, well, God permits that man's free will to be exercised. And do you know what happens? The man suffers the consequences. Listen, God has given every man reason and conscience. Every man has that light in him. Every unsaved man has reason and conscience. He can look around the universe, and he can look at creation, and he can understand that there's an intelligent mind that has designed the universe. You don't walk down the street and find a watch and say, "Hey, look what grew out of the grass." You say, "Wow, an intelligent mind designed that." Amen? And so God's given every man reason, but he's also given him conscience. And the conscience is a window. And the conscience doesn't only reflect when you've done wrong to tell you, "Hey, that was wrong." The conscience will tell you before you do wrong, "Don't do it." I've dealt with many prisoners. When I was earning my doctorate, I put in during my dissertation a survey. And it listed all the steps of sin. And in those steps, every single convict said there was one chance before they made that decision. And by the way, that's called the doctrine of peccability. The doctrine of peccability. It's the order of sin. But they had that one chance not to sin. But they made that chance. God has given you a conscience. And if you are so full of sin, your window's dirty. You can't even hear your conscience. Bible says your conscience is seared like a hot iron. Seared it. So man has free will. Amen. Thank God that you and I have free will. Now let's talk about this perfect will of God. There are certain things that God specifically wills. Okay? There are certain things, and I say that again, that God specifically wills. There is the permissive will of God, which we just spoke about. God didn't want Paul to go to Jerusalem, but he allowed him to go there. And in so doing, he allowed him, and from there, Paul would end up in Rome. Amen? God didn't want the Jews in Jerusalem, his brother James, who was pastoring the church, to be persecuted and to suffer persecution, but he allowed it. He had told them, "Go ye into all the world, start preaching," he told them, "first in Jerusalem, then Samaria, then Judea, and then out into all the world." Right? I mean, listen, I'm giving you a Bible. I'm not making these things up. He told them, here's what the Lord said in Acts 1:8, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and all Samaria, in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth." And because, I'll get right to you, caller, hold on one moment. And what happened was, they stayed in Jerusalem. So God allowed them to suffer persecution, and by that persecution coming upon that church in Jerusalem, they scattered throughout the world, and the gospel spread. Amen? It was God's will for them to go to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the other parts of the earth, but they didn't want to go. They wouldn't let go of their Jewishness. We have a bunch like that in the United States. They're running around calling themselves Masoretic Jews. They're not Masoretic Jews. They're Christians. Why separate yourself and put a division between the Gentile and the Jew? When you're in Christ, there's neither Gentile or Jew. Amen.
Take that call.
Nathan, you have a caller? Hello, Nathan?
Yes, we should have Joe on the line.
Joe, do I have you on the line?
6-9.
I don't hear him, brother.
Oh, yeah, he
is. I don't hear him.
Huh?
I don't hear him.
Well, I got him live. 691.
Hey, Joe? Joe?
Well, maybe that's not Joe. I thought sure that was Joe's phone number. Let me double check.
Okay.
They ain't saying nothing.
All right. Well, we'll just continue on. Joe's supposed to call in at 6:30.
It's 6:30.
Yep. Okay. Well, I'm gonna continue, and we'll get on with the lesson. And if they call back, put them through. If you're listening to the broadcast, the number is 347-945-5416, and you can press 1 to get into the switchboard.
Okay, that's not Joe.
Okay. If you want to get in to speak to the host, press 1, and you can pick it up. And you've got some background there, Nathan, some people in your background. All right. I'm going back to the lesson. The perfect will of God. We'll look for that call. And so, the perfect will of God. There are certain things God specifically wills, and we need to know them. Okay? There are certain things, again, that God specifically wills. Number one, God's not willing that any should perish. All unsaved people are out of the will of God, regardless of what else they may do. Why? Because they're outside the will of God. 2 Peter 3:9 says, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." God doesn't want a single soul to go to hell. That's a choice people make. Here's another thing God specifically wills. We're to give thanks for everything. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, "And everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." You say, well, I broke my leg. I'm supposed to thank God. Hey, man, hey, listen, I broke my leg. Hey, I'll praise you, Lord. You know why? Hey, listen, I know one thing. I'm going to suffer probably with my own stupidity anyway, but I broke my leg, Lord. It was an accident, but I praise you, Lord, because I know you're going to heal that thing. I know I'm going to walk on it again. I know it's going to be twice as strong. Amen? You know, we're to submit to every ordinance of man. In other words, laws and regulations. However, we must balance that with this very next point. 1 Peter 2:13 to 15 says, "Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme or unto governors, as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God, that with well-doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men." Amen. We're not to be conformed to this world, but we are to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. Submission to the ordinances of man is to maintain a proper testimony to win them to Christ, while at the same time, your life is being transformed to live by a higher standard to please God. You're not living to please man, but your testimony as you live for God, you see, as your mind is transformed and renewed through the scriptures, through the spirit, then your life will give a testimony, and that testimony is your living by a higher standard to please God. Hey, listen, the law is made for the lawless. The law is only a terror to the lawless, unless it's corrupt. Government was instituted by God. He gave Noah the highest authority to take a person's life in execution of the government laws, the laws of God. You understand? And so laws were created and governments were created to keep the sinner in check, not the Christian. The Christian should be living a godly, holy life, which is according to the law anyway. Here's another thing God desires. This is his will, his perfect will. He desires your sanctification. 1 Thessalonians 4:3-7 says, "For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor, not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles which know not God, that no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any matter, because that the Lord is the avenger of all such. As we also have forewarned you and testified, for God has not called us unto uncleanliness, but unto holiness." Here's another thing. Our service is to be from the heart. That is the directive will of God, with pure motives, as if we were serving Jesus Christ, which you are. Ephesians 6:5-8 says, "Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters," and that goes to employees and employers. Employers, servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of your heart, as unto Christ, not with eye service. That means not when they're only looking, not with eye service, as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with goodwill, doing service as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. You know what the Lord's saying in that? Hey, listen, I have an employer, and I'm going to work for him. But truly, I'm not trying to please him. I'm pleasing God. And in pleasing God, I'm going to do the best job I can. Not to please the man. Certainly I want my boss's approval, but I want God's approval more. And if I'm a street cleaner, you know, I'd said one day to God, "God, I would scrape bubblegum off the street to stay out of prison. I will never go back there again. I will never dishonor you, Lord." Not intentionally. You know what I did? I scraped bubblegum off the street with a putty knife on my hands and knees. That's humbling. Homeless people were walking by me asking me if I needed lunch. Amen. But you know why I did it? I did it not because I had to have that job, but because it was my job, and I was doing it unto the Lord. Amen? And if I was cleaning streets, sidewalks, they were the best I could get. Not because I was a great employee. That's a side result of being a good Christian. A good Christian ought to make you a good employee. I don't steal from my employer. I don't take paper clips and pencils and notes. You know, the stickums. Oh, well, they could afford it. Hey, listen, it's not yours. It's theirs. Honor God. God will bless you with those things. because you honored him. We're to redeem the time. This is another thing that is the directive will of God. We are to redeem the time. In other words, God's saying, quit wasting time. Make use of the small amount of time that God has given you in this life. Ephesians 5:15-17 says, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Serve God in all you do. So what I want to do at this point is, I'm not trying to holler at you. You know, the power of the Holy Spirit, just somebody out there needs this. We all need it. Paul said when time came for us to be teachers, we needed to be reminded of our foundational doctrines. We get away from that thing. We get hardened. You know, I pray, God, give me baby skin every day. You know, you keep my heart soft. But let me summarize God's will for your life. The will of God is the same for every person on earth, to be conformed to the image of God's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's really what it's about. Let me summarize that. Listen to some of these verses I'm going to read to you. Romans 8:28-29. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. And you know, a lot of my preacher friends like to quote that. And a lot of preachers that aren't my friends like to quote that. And that's all they quote. They forgot the rest of the verse, see? They say, oh, well, you know, all things work together for God. Hey, listen, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed into what? Into the image of his Son. He didn't call him to predestinate him to hell, to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Look at John 17:20-23. This is Jesus praying. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. Well, listen, Jesus not only praying for the disciples, but he's praying on those who believe through his word. Didn't you believe through the disciples' word? Didn't somebody tell you what the apostles wrote? Didn't somebody tell you what Jesus Christ said that was recorded? See, neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me, and the glory which thou gavest me I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one, I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Don't you know that God loves you, Christian, just as much as he loves Jesus? Isn't that a wonderful thought? Ephesians 4:13-15 says, till we all, Christians, till we all come in the unity of the faith, of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men, and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Amen. You see, the will of God is the same for every person on earth. God wants every man to receive his Son, conform to the image of God's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I have one other thing I want to ask you, because this is where people ask me, well, where do you find the plan of God for your life? Now you understand the permissive will of God. And now you understand the directive will of God. Hey, listen, Timothy said, Paul said to Timothy, in God's house are vessels of honor and vessels of dishonor. Because you have free will, you can choose to be a vessel of honor or you could choose to be a vessel of dishonor. But what does that mean, you ask? Well, I'm glad you asked that. What it means is this. In your home right now, you probably have some nice vase or container in which you put flowers when they're picked or given to you. That wouldn't be a vessel of honor in your home. But you also have a toilet, and in so much you hide it. You have a door there you shut when you're using it. That's a vessel to dishonor the toilet. And it's your choice because God has given you free will. You can be a vessel of honor in God's house, or you could be a vessel of dishonor. Amen? That's God's permissive will. But whatever you choose, God's going to get his honor out of it. If you're a disobedient Christian, then God's going to get his glory out of it. You're going to say, how's that? Well, because other Christians are going to look at you when God is chastening you for your sin, and they're going to say, God is just and God is great, and they will fear God. You know, reverence, holy fear, and humble themselves, and God will get the glory. Every knee will bow before Jesus Christ, saved and unsaved, you will one day bow down before Jesus Christ. And I hope you're earning your crowns. I hope you've got that crown of righteousness. I hope you've got your crown of rejoicing. I hope you've got your five crowns, the incorruptible crown, the crown of life. I hope you earn your crowns so that when we appear before the throne, the book of Revelation says we take those crowns and we throw them at Jesus' feet because truly he's the only one worth the glory. So the question remains, where do I find the will of God in my life? Well, you're never going to find the will of God or the plan of God outside of the Word of God. And if you're using any other Bible than the King James Bible, you're already in trouble. And if you say, well, that's the first time I've heard that, or I've heard that story before, well, I'm going to give you two verses. And if you own an NIV, please write to me and tell me what the verse says, Acts 8:37. That's Acts 8:37. And if you'd kindly tell me what 1 John 5:7 says. 1 John 5:7. If you have an NIV, I'd certainly like to hear from you. I'd like to know what your Bible says, because I can already tell you what it says. It doesn't say anything because somebody took those verses out. 1 John 5:7 testifies about the Trinity. Acts 8:37 testifies that in order to be born again, you must receive Jesus Christ in your heart if you believe with all your heart. That verse is stolen from your Bible. Do you know why? Because the next verse says that Philip and the eunuch went down and got baptized in the water without that heart belief. And so somebody wants you to believe that you can get salvation through water baptism. And it's a lie. And therefore, you don't have a Bible. You have something that looks like one because somebody's already lied to you. And they said there's no difference between these books. Well, there is a difference. And that's why there's a copyright on them. You see, there's no copyright in a King James Bible. Anybody can copy it and use it. But your NIV is never going to be like a King James. Your NIV is never going to be like a New King James. Your NIV is never going to be like a Revised Standard Version. And none of those versions are ever going to be like the King James. You know why? Because they all have copyrights. And you know why that is? Satan devised that, my brethren. He devised it. He's the master of deception. And you've fallen for that deception if you're using any other Bible than the King James Bible. You have fallen for the deception. You see, when you have two authorities, you create a third. For instance, and that happened in the Garden of Eden. We still haven't learned from history. You see, if you have an NIV and I have a King James Bible, and you say, well, mine says this, and I say, mine says that, we better go ask the professor, the pastor, who's correct. Well, now, who's the authority? Not God's word anymore. The professor became the authority. You've been hoodwinked. Throw that book in the garbage. We get them around here. We get them. We get the watchtower things. They leave them in our doorway, and they're great to have. You know, in the summer, you can we use them to pop the doors open in the summer. That's all they're worth. So where can I find a plan of God in my life? Well, you're never going to find it outside the Word of God. You find God's will and plan by renewing your mind, as it's written in Romans 12, 1 and 2. You renew your mind by letting this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Amen? You know, the Apostle Paul says it's a reasonable thing. And reasonable means nobody's asking you too much. Paul said in Romans 12, 1 and 2, I beseech you, he's begging you, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is what? Which is your reasonable service. Listen, Jesus gave his all for you. Why do you only want to give some for him? Verse 2 says, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that an acceptable and perfect will of God. Amen? You renew your mind by reading the Word of God daily, by prayer, by study. Listen, sin will keep you from the Bible will keep you from sin. It's as simple as that. See, you've got to replace your carnal thoughts with God's thoughts. And you do that by immersing yourself into the Word of God. When you immerse yourself into the Word of God, something wonderful is going to happen. You see? 2 Corinthians 10:5 says, casting down imaginations in your mind, and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Very simple. Listen, go back to the Ten Commandments. You say, man, this is all complicated. No, it's not. It is a, thou shalt not steal. It's one of the Ten Commandments. Well, now you know that. So the next time the urge comes to steal a pencil from your boss or a piece of paper or a paperclip, the scripture should come to your heart. Thou shalt not steal. Now you brought that evil thought of stealing into conformity to the Word of God, and you apply it to your life. You have an addiction problem. Listen, I have an addiction problem. I get around cigarettes, I'm in trouble. Now, I'm telling you something. What you need to do is go to the Bible, find the verses that deal with your problem, memorize them, put them in your heart, and allow the Holy Spirit to work that thing out of you. Amen? Here's God's plan. How does God reveal his plan for my life? That's an important question. And I mean, really, that's what we want to know. Every one of us needs to know, where do we find the plan? We know what the permissive will of God is. Be ye holy, for I'm holy, is the directed will of God. We've read that. We've read the directed will. We've read the permissive will of God. So the ultimate question that I have in my life is, where do I find God's plan for my personal life? I know his will. I know what the permissive will is. But what is the personal plan for my life? You see? Well, number one, you got to be in conformity with the will of God before he's going to reveal his plan to you. So your priority should be to fulfill the general will of God in your daily life. And then trust him to guide you in that detailed plan. Number two, God is infinitely more interested in you being the type of person he wants you to be than in your doing for him all the mighty works. Be what God wants you to be, and he'll show you what to do. Before we close, here's a couple thoughts. Some things that people have asked. Well, why doesn't God reveal his plan for me now? Why can't I see the whole plan? Listen, if God revealed the whole plan of your life, showed you the rest of your life right now, you know what it would do? It would overwhelm you before you get started. God told Abraham he was going to have a son. That son, who ultimately was Isaac, the Messiah was going to come through him. He was going to be great nations. Listen, Abraham didn't get that. He got in there. He listened to his wife. instead of being the head of his household. He let his wife make the ultimate decision. Go to my maid Hagar and have a child. We're tired of waiting around for God. We're too old for that stuff. See, but he didn't see the whole plan. And had Abraham seen that whole plan, what he thought was a good thing, he couldn't imagine the wonderful thing that God was planning to do with his life by bringing Isaac into his life. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, all the way to the Messiah. Hallelujah. So God doesn't reveal the whole plan in one shot because it would overwhelm you. Here's another thing. You may not be equipped to handle what God's got planned for your life yet. You may not be the type of person God wants you to be yet for that position God has in mind for you. God will reveal what you can handle when you and I can handle it. It's the same thing with the Word of God. I read this Bible, and there were some things that I didn't understand. Mary was standing in Jerusalem, in the city. Jesus was 12 years old. He had been missing for 3 days. They were on their way. They left Jesus behind. A lot of my friends are too. They're going about the Lord's work, but they forgot the Lord. And so they go all the way back 3 days, and they find Jesus in the temple. And Mary says, Jesus, where you been? Don't you know we've been looking for you? And Jesus says, wist ye not that I must be about my Father's business? And the Bible tells us that Mary didn't understand that at that time. But she put it in her heart. And there's some things that go on in your life as a Christian, and sometimes you're reading the Bible and you don't get it. Maybe it's not for you at this time. We all are at a different place in our Christian walk. Some of us just got saved, so we're like babies. We're crawling. We're in our cribs, and we're learning the milk of the Word. Some of you are a little bit older, and you started to walk, and you're eating meat now. Some of you are mature, very mature Christians, and you're eating strong meat. Amen? And so we're all at a different place. And you may not be at that place God wants you yet where he's going to use you for that plan. But God will reveal what you can handle when you can. You understand? It's a funny thing. You just need to be patient with God while you are fulfilling his specific will. And as you go along, God will reveal it to you. My son-in-law, Scott, was in the church. And Doc Bryan, he's been preaching for years, 90 years old, still preaching, fired up, comes up with a guitar, gets up there, Lord bless him. And Scott stood up one day and he said, Lord, put it on my heart, I'm called to preach. I said, amen, brother. You know, amen. All right, does that mean he's going to preach tomorrow? Listen, I had a calling on my life since I was 8 years old to preach the gospel. I didn't get it. God didn't use me until I was 40, primarily. You know, when a man has a vision, and I'll leave you with this thought. When a man has a vision from God, a vision for a church, vision for the school, ministry of the church, or any other ministry or missions under the church, that vision is not what the man is going to do. The vision is what God is going to do. Amen? Too many men have a vision, and they want it to be their vision. So they go out and start doing whatever they want. Well, we can reach that vision. God showed me a vision. I'm going to get there. Listen, no, you're not. You're going to follow that thing up. You may never fulfill the vision God has. It's God's vision, and God's going to fulfill the vision. And so if you want to know the will of life, stay in the directive will of God. Understand the permissive will of God. When you get outside the directive will of God, then turn like Paul did. Paul was in Jerusalem. He was told not to go. He repented. And you know what? The Lord showed up and said, Paul, he comforted him. He comforted Paul. Hey, look at Paul. God's a reasonable God. Isaiah says, God, come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be what? White as snow. Listen, God's a reasonable God. He went down there and he told Paul, look, I know you did this because you wanted to glorify me. I know you did it because you thought it was right. But, brother, I told you don't go down there. Didn't I, son? But now I'm going to take where you are, and I'm going to use you, Brother Paul. Still, I'm going to send you to Rome, and you're going to testify of me. You got outside of my will, my directive will, but that's okay. My permissive will allowed it. You've learned your lesson. Get on up to Rome. And God sent him to Rome. And you know what? Paul testified in so much that the soldiers that were holding captive were getting saved. Hallelujah. They give Caesar's household salute to you. That's what he wrote in the epistle. And so if you get outside the will of God, not intentionally or intentionally, you need to repent and say, God, I'm sorry. Got out of your will. Got into sin. Scripture says if we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us. Amen. Now, if there's anybody out there that's been listening and you don't know Jesus Christ, you're not sure of your salvation, the Scripture says that if you will believe in your heart and confess with your mouth, the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved. There's none other name given among men under heaven whereby we must be saved. And if you'll just admit tonight that you are a sinner, God, I'm a sinner, and sin has an eternal penalty, you must know that. Salvation has an eternal gift, and that gift comes through Jesus Christ, and he offers it to you. It's not going to make you receive the gift. A prisoner doesn't have to take a pardon. It's a gift. And so God offers you a pardon for your sins. You don't have to go to hell. But if you choose not to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, then you're asking to be separated from God for all eternity. All eternity. It's your choice. We just studied the will of God. God doesn't want you to choose that, but he's given man free will. You make the choice. And if you'll just confess tonight that you're a sinner, turn from those sins. Turn to the cross of Jesus Christ. Bow down and ask God. Say, God, I'm a sinner. I repent of my sins. I believe that Jesus Christ died for my sins, that he was buried, that he resurrected the third day, and he's with you, Father God, on the right hand. And I accept and receive Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Well, brethren, I want you to know something. If you're out there and you prayed that prayer with me tonight, I want you to email me at ventura.peter77@gmail.com. That's ventura.peter77@gmail.com. And I have some information that will help you get along. I want to welcome you to the family of Jesus Christ. I want to welcome you to God's family. Amen. The Bible says there's rejoicing in heaven. And if you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you can call the station. You can contact Nathan on the spot. You can call me at 203-240-0377. That's my personal cell phone. I will receive that call. I will speak to you personally. I will pray with you if you need prayer, and we'll get that thing going for you. We'll get you pointed in the right direction. Amen. I want to thank Nathan on the spot. I don't know what happened with Brother Joe.
I'm right here
tonight. Brother Joe Gibson, my brother, wrote a book, and I wanted him to come on this evening and to tell you about that book. He's a Christian. He's, you know, stumbled a little bit. He's gotten back up. He knows how to wipe the dirt off his clothes and keep on running for the Lord. And you know what? It's Behind the Walls. That's the name of the book by Joel Honnett. You can find it on yahoo.com. He's there now? Okay.
I've been here. I've just been listening. I didn't want to interrupt you. You were doing so well, and there was so much knowledge there that was absolutely brilliant, the way you put it.
Well, that's the Holy Spirit, brother. And when God puts it together, you know what? God does it right. And I'm glad you joined us tonight. And I know I'm going over that hour limit. And I'll ask the listeners, please hold on. Hold on a minute. You know, Joe was a guest on our program about a week ago, and we had a great discussion. We're going to have others. If you haven't heard that, please go back and archive it. You can go back and archive every one of these shows, every one of these programs. You can archive them by going to Nathan on the Spot. And, Joe, I want you to tell us exactly the name of your book, the author, and how it can be bought. This story will rock your socks. That's how I say it. You need to put on a seatbelt when you read this story. I have read many stories. This story is a true story. It is not written in a professional super manner. It is written from a standpoint of a person who suffered in a situation that could happen to any one of us, any one of our children who happened to get on the wrong end of the law. Listen, this case that Joe speaks about in his book, the jury was so scared to deliberate in one of the civil matters that they recused themselves and they refused to come back out, and they had to be dismissed and the jury replaced them. And so you need to read this book, because this is a true story of how the system, a correctional system, abused a man and put him in a situation where it was life and death. And by the grace of God, our brother Joseph survived. By the grace of God, his throat was cut. He was shot at. This is more than once. He was stabbed. And if he didn't have a cell phone on him, he would have died in the street bleeding to death. And those who were responsible for his life let him down. Those who we trust in our government let him down. Those who we believe are doing the right thing. And we know that all government has corruption, but this is beyond it. But the true corruption is that he was sold out and that he didn't even get a dime for what he suffered wrongfully in the hands of those who were supposed to protect him. And you really want to read the book. And I don't know if you could say anything else about it, Joey. Tell us where we can get a copy of this book.
Peter, the way you described it, Peter, is just excellent. I thank Nathan for allowing you to speak about it and the show. You know, I have a lot to say all the time, but like I said earlier, you know, you did such a good job tonight. The Holy Spirit just moved me not to interrupt you, because I, you know, when I get in there, I start talking and I could really stir things up. But I just couldn't. But thank you for mentioning the book. It's a truth. You can get it at Amazon.com. It's Behind the Walls by Joel Hodnett. And yes, and what you mentioned about the jury begging out of the civil trial, it was the first time in the history of this country that in a civil case, a jury recused themselves from a court case. And that was amazing. It's the first time in the history of this country. So,
amen. Amen. Well, that's historical, brother. That's historical. And you know, when you read the story, you sit back and you see, you know, the copies of the transcripts are in the back of the book, and references are made to them. Everything's authentic. There's nothing fake here. This isn't a made-up story. This is a true, hey, if you like true life crime and story, this is the one. And I want you to know that you're going to be surprised. It's well worth the investment. And it's well worth the time that you will take to read this book. It will enlighten you, and you will sit back and shake your head, and you will wonder, when will Joseph Gibson ever receive justice for what was done to him in the manner it was, and why wasn't any of these people who were responsible for it ever brought to justice? It's a shame. And you know what? The Lord will justify it. I know that, and you know that. But Joe's story needs to be told, and it needs to be told around the country and around the world. It needs to be known. And by the grace of God, like I said, Joe's with us today. We visited. He has a wonderful family, and he's doing good for himself. I want you to know that. I want you to know the Lord's blessed him. You know, like everybody else, we all have life struggles, and he's doing well. And so if you keep Brother Joe and his family in prayer, go get a copy of the book. And, you know, we don't ask for money on this program. We find the means to support it through the Lord, whether it's in our own pockets or whether somebody comes along and says, hey, brother, we want to help you, you know, pay for the radio station. Nathan basically does most of the work behind the scenes. He's not compensated for it. And so we're not asking for your money. We're just asking you to go and buy that book. We don't receive a dime. Nathan on the Spot doesn't get a dime for it. Enterprise Media does not get a dime for it. We're not going to get a cent for it.
And we want you to go look and read that book. I would love for you to read the book. Call the radio program, say, hey, text us, email us, put a post up there, contact Joe, and say, you know what, I read the book, and you deserve justice, Joe. Amen. At least, or brother, we're praying for you, and we're praying God will recompense you and bless you for what you suffered at the hands of the state, of the government. And, you know, Joe could be angry with the government, and he could be vicious about that stuff, but God's given him a forgiving heart, and he's moved on down the road. And he's primarily focusing on, you know, he does his witnessing and his testimonies, and you know, he's doing things for the Lord. And so we need to, you know, encourage Brother Joe, and I do encourage you, Joe. But I'm out of time.
All right, thank you.
Tell us one more time. The name of the book is Behind the Walls.
Behind the Walls by Joel Hodnett.
Joel Hodnett. And you can get it on Amazon. Hey,
Can I get a Kindle too?
That's
the best place to go.
Can they get a hardcover or, I mean, softcover?
No, it's all paperback. They can get a Kindle. It's also available in Kindle. You can also download it through Kindle. So it's also available in Kindle format.
Amen. Well, that's good. Yeah, because a lot of people don't like to read books and they have tablets with them. So you can get a copy of that book on Kindle. And listen, if you read it and you don't enjoy it, call us and tell us why. And if you do read it and you do enjoy it and it moves your heart, then contact us and let us know. Again, you know, Enterprisement Media, Dr. Ventura, Sound Doctrine Broadcast. We're guests on this program. This is a guest spot given to us by John Hill, Nathan on the Spot, who's behind the scenes, and Enterprisement Media. And so we're allowed to teach and preach sound doctrine, and it's contrary to a lot of stuff that's being taught out there because it's Bible, and a lot of stuff isn't. So we're glad you joined us tonight. Those of you from around the world who have been praying for us, who have contacted us, who email us, who hits the likes on the Facebooks, all those things mean something to us. We want to know that God's doing something in your life and that you're receiving the Word of God and that you're growing in Christ. And until we get back on the air next week, I'm on the road next week. I'm heading for Washington, D.C. I don't know what state I'll be in, but I'll be broadcasting live Thursday night. We'll see where the Lord brings us. We're up to the next section of this lesson. It's we did the will of God tonight, and we're going to move on to giving, a subject. Ooh, people hate that subject. Well, why do we have to give? Well, we're going to find out. I want to thank Angela and Scott, JP and Aiden, for your sermon, especially Lewis and Scott and JP. They gave their first sermons in the church this week, fulfilling that calling that God has called them to preach. And I want to thank Dr. Wright and his wife, my wife Marilyn. Please continue to keep her in prayer. And Joe, his wife and family, his father, his grandmother up there in Connecticut, and he has an uncle in Wisconsin. We want to pray for their health and that God will keep them in their graces. His sister, who can use some prayer right now. I think we all can use prayer, but primarily if you pray for these people, we appreciate it. I want to thank Fred and Kitty and Sherry and Raymond, Brother Raymond, and there's just so many people who pray for us, my daughter Belva and my granddaughter and Sarah, and there's just so many people that pray for us and so many people that have asked for prayer. There's a woman, let me see, I think I still have it here. There is a woman that we need to pray for, was kidnapped in Mexico, and they're asking a ransom for her. They are asking a ransom for it. Now, the family has not contacted me. A friend of the family told me, came to the church and said, Brother Peter, we have a problem in the family, and we need you to pray for this woman. And so we would appreciate it. We've seen God doing miracles in our church, and I've been answering prayers. We're seeing people healed. We have testimonies every week of what God is doing in someone's life. The girl's name is, they said, Sister Pilar, P-I-L-A-R, Peeler. She was kidnapped for ransom in Tijuana, and she's a member of Bob Walker's church. And I don't know who Bob Walker is, you know, he's a member of the church. I'm sure it's traumatic to them. And so if you please keep her in prayer that those who are holding her will release her, because this area between San Diego and Tijuana is a sex trafficking area, and it's, you know, we have some great people fighting for the rights of children and those kidnapped. And, you know, we were involved recently. Our church helped to rescue a young lady and to get her back to Japan with her mother. And so you know, please pray for these people. And we're an active church. Pray for us. We need your protection. We need, you know, we need to grow as a church, and that God would meet our needs also. But Sister Peeler, and I want to thank you all. I want to turn this over to Nathan. Nathan, Brother Nathan, thank you. The Lord bless you. And the listeners, we'll catch you next Thursday. I'm glad you tuned in, and I hope you've enjoyed the Sound Doctrine broadcast. Lord bless you.
To hear your still small voice, listen, trust, follow.
I repent of my sin and turn away. I repent of my sin and turn away.